Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to the Sutta Study class, the day two. And thank you for coming and attending. And last time we started actually the Buddhist theory of knowledge. Okay, and we will continue the same lesson today as well. Let's go back to the lesson that you learned last time, little bit refresh our memories about it. What did we learn last time?
We should believe.
Right, we should not believe in things. Now, in other words, we should not accept anything based on authorities, right? Remember, that is what you learned. The Buddha pointed out that we should reject authority if we want to make a rational judgment, right? Okay, the Buddha discarded authority. What are those authorities?
Traditional
authority?
Cultural
authority? And most importantly, religious authority, right? And social authority and textual authority, right? Textual authority, right? All of these authorities, Buddha said. In other words, if you depend on these criteria, okay, and these authorities to make judgments, you are almost always in trouble because you don't make rational judgments. Okay? So, not only did Buddha reject authorities, but also Buddha introduced a kind of a solid, a plausible criteria to accept something as correct or wrong, right? In other words, to improve your theory of knowledge means how to know them, right? If you reject them as false criteria, how do you know it properly? To know it, you have to... How? Remember the... On the one hand, you should have wholesome motivation. In other words, your intention. On the one hand, your intention, and on the other hand, consequences, right? The effects of something, right? On the one hand, your intention, on the other hand, good effects. You have to match both, right? So maybe you have a good intention, but the consequences are, you cannot evaluate the consequences, then you are not going to make a rational decision, right? It judgment can be wrong. Rational judgment means... you have to balance both. And at the same time, you need to pay attention to the wise. That's also another point. Right? Attanava jane yati medamma kusala. See, kusala means wholesome, right? Wholesome means with good thoughts. Attaya hitaya means it's for the benefit and happiness. So you should not... This is one of the... And this is what you call rational argumentation. This is what you call rational thinking. In other words, in modern day, this is what you call rational thinking. Okay. Actually, in my, if you had a time to go to that dissertation, I have argued in my dissertation that Greek sophist thinkers, the sophist, you could have heard sophist, right? Sophist thinkers are before philosophers. They are called Protagoras, Gorgias, Hippias, Critias, like these Greek thinkers. They were the first people to introduce this rational thinking in Greece. They were the people who rejected cultural authority, traditional authority. In my dissertation, I have argued that they were influenced by these Buddhist rational concepts. They were influenced. But at the present time, there is a tendency in our Western universities, okay, to say that Greek rational thinking is original in Greece. But honestly, it's not original. In the same way Greek philosophers borrowed from Indian philosophers in the Hindu tradition, okay, Greek rational thinkers also borrowed from Buddhist and Jain rational thought. That is how they construct rational thinking. They're very, very interesting. Okay? So this is the rational thought. As a Buddha, for the first time in the recorded history, we have the rational thinking. Okay, so that is what we discussed last time, and we have one more sutra related to the same thing, the other sutta, Chankya Sutta, But I thought we will skip that. We don't have enough time to cover all the sutras. So we skip the Chanki Sutra and we go back to this sutra, which is called Chula Sakuludai Sutra, which reflects at the other side, some other things about rational thinking. Okay. So this is in the Majjhima Nikaya. Yeah. Majjhima Nikaya is the middle length saying, right? You know, Digha Nikaya is a long discourses. Majjhima Nikaya middle length sayings. This sutra is the 79th sutra in the Majjhima Nikaya. So this is Majjhima Nikaya 2 and sutra 79. Okay. So this is a very, very beautiful kind of a teaching. It's beautiful and it's very profound. It reflects the scientific background of the Buddha. This is also scientific in a sense. It's a systematic way of thinking, right? You know, anything systematic, that's scientific. Right? But this sutra also has a very, very good scientific background. So we will go through this one. The background of this sutra is, let's read the summary. Maybe you can read, one of you can read the first paragraph. Yeah, okay.
The Buddha visits the hermit of the wandering.
Now this sutra, this is the introduction of this sutra, shows a kind of a tendency in that society. That's also very important. The Buddha visited, so you know in the morning, you know, in the morning, the one thing Buddha did was that he took his ball and his robe and he went, that's called alms receiving, right? If somebody invited the Buddha to a certain house, Buddha would visit that. Otherwise, he would go to nearby houses, right? So he may be around 10:30 in the morning, around that time, but before that, Buddha has time. So that what Buddha did was that he visited nearby monasteries. Okay, so and also the people in those monasteries were very much open. That was a trend in that society. Okay. Everybody was seeking the truth. Okay, so many teachers, so many ascetics, different traditions. Some of them are Brahmins, right, of a traditional, kind of traditional, okay? And some others are called, these people are called the wanderers. They are called wanderers, wandering ascetics. Wandering ascetics are the people who, they did not stay at one place, they went from place to place searching the truth. It's wandering ascetics. So the beautiful thing is that, you know, it's unlike in today's society sometimes, you know, you don't want to visit somebody else's house and monastery and talk about your compare and contrast, you argue on that, right? But this society, it was different. Okay, they went to the Buddha. All the time Buddha went. So they welcomed the Buddha. Actually, they were looking forward to the Buddha's coming. Okay? And in every city, there were debating halls constructed. Right? Debating halls. The king would construct a debating hall. This is open to any recluse, any hermit, any ascetic coming from any directions. The king said, it is our responsibility to respect and show gratitude to them. So in that way, it was such a very, very open society. So Buddha visited there and Buddha met Sakuludai, and he has two names here. One time is Sakuludai, the other name is Udai. Buddha means Udai, and Buddha says Sakuludai. So he went there, and he says, Buddha, actually Buddha asked first, this is the minimum summary, the Buddha asked, what was your topic? Okay, you are talking. Then they says, it's not my topic, so whatever you want to talk about, you can talk about, he says. Then this man says, Sakuludai, actually he is a teacher. He is a teacher, but he has his own teacher. But he has his own disciples, lot of disciples with him. And they were learning under him. Okay? So he says, I went to Nigantanatha Putta, Jain leader, Nigantanatha Putta. So Jainism is a kind of a religion during that time. So he says what Nigantanatha Putra said about answer to their questions, what he said in answering that question. Okay, so he says Nigantanatha Putra was not happy when he asked that question. So he showed displeasure. Okay. Then he asked the Buddha the same question. And the Buddha replies, okay. So this is the minimum summary of what the Buddha said, okay. But remember, so we discussed earlier that Buddha's utterances and Buddha's discourses have been rigorously summarized and made shorter. I think we mentioned it last time, right? Mm-hmm. So just to retain memory. You know, long utterances, long discourses, everything you cannot, you know, for 45 years, right? Buddha went from place to place and Buddha talked to the hundreds of thousands of people. So everything cannot be remembered word by word. So that what they did was that without altering the main thing, they reduce it to the minimum. So this one is something like that. Let me go to that sutra. Let us go to the whole sutra. I think I have saved somewhere here. Let's see here. So this one, I believe. I found several translations. Maybe. I find it here. It has a link, but it takes maybe this one. You know, certain things we have omitted. So the sutra says that when the Buddha went there, they were talking about different talks, like gossips, and like about kings, about fighting, about war, like that. And this Sakuludai said, okay, oh, Buddha is coming, right? He likes noble silence, therefore let us maintain silence, like that. They stopped talking like that. Then they started talking here. So. Okay, right. So this is I took this quotation from this translation. So actually the thing is that he wants to know the question. It looks like he asked is that gives at the end of the sutra. If you go one by one here, it is not easy for us to follow. Do you want me to read the whole sutra? No, right? So we will go fast. Okay.
He read what you sent out.
Yeah, you read it, right? Okay, right. So we going through. Okay, so the question there in the translation here is kind of, yeah. Okay, this is the main thing. So thing is that actually he wanted to know the question. It looks like towards the end, at the beginning the question he asks is not clear very well, but later on we find that the question is. Is there a way, or is there a happy, beautiful, utopia-like existence? And if there is, how and what is the way to go there? That was the question. Okay. So, how did the Buddha answer that question? Mm-hmm. So, Buddha said, see, recollect the manifold previous births with all modes and details. If you want me to remember, if you want me to tell you, I will remember them and tell you. This is a question about the beginning and how have been asked. I could have convinced your mind answering a question about the beginning. Okay. Oh, that now here beginning is the beginning of the world, beginning of the universe. And the end is that this happiness and the end of the world also, right? So if you ask me a question about the beginning, the Buddha says, I would give whatever answer to please you. Okay? And somewhere else Buddha says, and you will ask a different question and you would give a different answer. You would ask the same question somebody else and you would receive the different answer. The answer should be different from my own answer. Okay? Therefore, Buddha says, I know being according to their actions. The questions about the beginning should have been asked from me. I could have convinced your mind answering that question. Yet to thine, let alone the beginning and let alone the end. I will teach you when this is, this comes to be. When this arises, okay, it should be the comma is at the wrong place. When this arises, when this is not present, this is not. And when this ceases, that ceases. Okay. Now, but let me go to this first section. Okay. The question about the beginning should have been asked for. I could have convinced you, your mind answering that question. Okay, Buddha said, let alone the beginning and let alone the end. Okay, let us pay attention to this one first. This one. Okay. So it means, let alone the beginning and let alone the end. What does it mean? Don't worry about the beginning. Okay. Don't worry about the end. Okay. Okay. So, let me see the my translation. Okay. Okay, so the term is called apiccha udayi tittatu pubbanto tittatu aparanto. That's the term. Okay, I will write it down here. This is the term. Apiccha udayi tittatu pubbanto. Tittatu aparanto. So this is the term. Okay, I need to enlarge this one. Right? So apiccha udayi tittatu pubbanto tittatu aparanto. Okay. Now tittatu tit actually the English word of titta is sit. Tittatu pubbanto means let the past sit in the past. That's a tittatu pubbanto. Tittatu, let it be there. Tittatu. Pubbanto means purva. Purva in Sanskrit. That means what happened in the past. Okay, so tittatu pubbanto means let the past be in the past. Tittatu pubbanto. Tittatu aparanto means same. Apara means what comes in the future, right? Tittatu aparanto means let the future be in the future. Okay. Let the past be in the past, let the future be in the future. Okay. See. In other words, Buddha pointed out that argument about what happened in the past. These are speculative argumentations. Okay, that's the important thing. It's different, right? Speculative argumentation and rational argumentation means two different things. What is speculative argument? It's based on, now this is a connection to previous sutras, right? Textual authority, for instance. Okay, religious authority. Right, so any kind of authority, okay? So what Buddha says is that I may tell you that I existed in the past like this, like this, like this. Okay? And I may satisfy you. But that is not my purpose. Okay? In other words, you don't ask me about whether I existed in the past or I will continue to exist in the future. Okay? So, let the past be in the past and let the future be in the future means don't worry about. Have you heard about that the person, I think you have heard about, the person who is injured by a poisoned arrow? When a person is, that's a Buddha's simile, a parable. When a person is injured by a poisoned arrow, what should that person do? Yeah, you have to?
Don't worry about where I came from.
Yeah, that's right. If you know, from what distance did it come? Okay, from what direction did it come? Who sent it? That's who shot it, right? That's a Brahmin, Shastri, Vaishya, Shudra. Okay, until I get questions to all, answers to all these questions, I don't remove this one, right? So, what happens is that without getting an answer to any of those questions, he dies. Okay, so that is the story of a person who was injured. Yes.
So, speculation is dangerous.
Dangerous, correct. But speculations are dangerous, but it is not hypothesis or something. Hypothesis is different. Speculative concepts means, I mean, you don't have proof, right? You cannot prove it, but still you cling to that. Right? That is speculation. Okay? Let's say that. So Buddha was very much cautious. In Buddhism, we have 10 kinds of questions the Buddha did not answer. Actually, I wrote that list here at the end of this. So these are the Pali canon consists of a list of 10 unanswered questions. These are the 10 kinds of, in several sutras, Buddha said, I don't answer these questions. These were the 10 metaphysical questions. Pali Canon contains a list of 10 unanswered questions about certain views. Their views are called ditthi. Yeah? The world is eternal. That's called sassato loko, asassato loko. The world is eternal or not eternal. Okay. The world is not a world just. This is just universe also. Loka. The word the Buddha uses is loka. Okay. The loka, is the loka eternal or it's not eternal? Next one is, the world is infinite or finite? Not finite. Okay, right, that means antava loko, anantava, sasata loko, antava loko. This is called antava loko, anantava loko. That means the universe is endless or it has limitations. You know, still they are arguing on this one, right? Still nobody has found an answer to that question.
So maybe the answer is there, but there's no way to prove that the answer.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely the answer is there. That's a good comment. You know, the Buddha said, what the Buddha said is, what exists in the universe is illusion, ignorance. Okay? But the facts are there. Everything is crystal clear. But we don't know. The only thing is that it is something to do with here, right? In other, there are no surprises in the world. No astonishments. No surprises. Everything is absolutely clear. Right? But the problem is that we don't know. We don't know. Therefore, we attach meanings, right? We go to textual authority, religious authority, and we give different interpretations, right? The world is eternal or the world is not eternal. The world is finite or the world is infinite. Sasata loko, antava loko, anantava loko. Sasata loko, asasata loko, antava loko, anantava loko. This one is called tang jivang tang sarirang, anyang jivang anyang sarirang. That means, is the jiva is life force? is one thing and the body one thing, or life force and body are the same thing? This is another question. Next one. This is called Hotu Tathagata Paramarana. Does the Tathagata or the Buddha or anybody enlightened? Does that person exist after death? Or that person does not exist after death? Or does a person exist and none exist? Or something combination of all of them after death? So these are called neither exists nor does not exist after death. Right? Okay, so these are called unanswered questions. The Buddha did not answer, they are called tapaniya. Tapaniya. Tapa means you put aside. They are called tapaniya prasna. Tapaniya questions. Right? Buddha did not answer these questions. So, we go back to that here. We enlarge this one here. This one, right? That is what the Buddha said. Jetudai, let alone the beginning and let alone the end. Okay, so that is what Buddha meant there. Okay. Now in other words, what does it mean? In other words, if you want to come to rational judgments, okay, you should not based on speculations about existence in the past.
Stuff that can't be really proven either way, and it's just going to distract you.
Exactly.
From the real issue.
Definitely. Yeah. In the same way, okay, if you want to make a rational judgment, don't depend your judgments upon speculations about future. So the last 30 minutes we will use to discuss all of them, right? I think that's a good idea. But if you have any questions, you can ask them. So this is a very, very good approach for the... This is what you call rationality. Okay, even modern science, we don't base our judgments on speculations, right? Actually, a hypothesis comes, but it has to be tested, right?
And it has to be testable.
Correct. Otherwise, you don't take it seriously. Okay, now we come to the next point. I will teach you. Okay, this is what I am teaching. So the Buddha says, I am not teaching about something that happened in the past or in the future. I don't make judgments, but this is what I will teach you. This thing. When this is, this comes to be. When this arises, that arises. Actually, it should be. This is the Pali translation. Okay, let me write it down, Pali words, and let's go through it word by word. Right? That will be helpful. It's called Asming Sati. Idam Hoti. Asmin sati idam hoti. Second one. Masa upada. Masa upada. Idam uchati. Third one. Asmin sati dangoti masa upada idang upacati. Asmin asati idang nahoti. Upacati. J, right? Upacati. Upacati. Asmin sati dangoti. Imasa upada idang upajati, asmin asati idang nahoti. Imasa Nirodha. Oh, this is well all the time, right? Vimasa Nirodha. Itang. Nirujjati. Ajay. Ajati Nirujjati.
Can you save those ones or when we put it online? Yes.
Correct. Yes. Yes. I will save it. Yeah. Scott. So this is the formula, right? Formula. Asming sati idang. Asming means this. Asming sati idang hoti. Okay. Asming sati idang hoti. Okay. Let's translate it, right? Okay. When this is asming sati idang hoti. That is. When this is, that is. Okay. You must. Let's go to the next page so you can see all of them. Okay, right? Asming sati idang hoti. When this is, that is. Imasa upada idang upajati. Having. Imasa upada. Having come to existence. This having come to existence. This having come to existence, that arises. That comes to existence. That arises. That comes to existence. Existence. Okay. Next one. Asmin asati idang nohoti. Okay, so asmin sati idang hoti, right? Asmin asati idang nohoti, that means when this is not, yes, that is not. Asmin asati idang nohoti, when this is not, that is not. Imasa nirodha idang nirujjati, that means, nirodha means cease, right? When this is gone. When this is gone, that goes. So when this is, that is, this having come to existence, come into existence, right? Into existence, that comes to exist, comes to exist. When this is not, that is not. When this is gone, that goes. Okay, so what do you think about this formula? Yes, that's right. Cause and effect. Yeah, this is cause and effect. Okay. This is what you call it. So you have heard paticca samuppada, right? Paticca samuppada, that is cause and effect. Okay. Actually, this is what you call dependent origination. Okay. That's what it was called. I got that one, right? Yeah. It's a dependent origination. Yeah. Cause and effect. Some people say cause and effect, but this dependent origination, a very deep concept. So what did you learn in that class? Then you must be able to remember. Now, I'm going to say something. This has been interpreted in different ways. Okay. Now that is why, you know, if everything is crystal clear, maybe the Buddha's teaching is not that much appealing to everybody. Okay. Now this has been interpreted in two different ways. Okay. One is this one. Okay. For instance, as long as you keep these two things together. Now this thing, like this, here you cannot, okay. Now in other words, as long as two things are together, both exist. when this unity is broken, none of them exists. Now this has been interpreted as but sunyata, you could have a sunyata vada means emptiness, voidness. Mahayana, this is the very root of Mahayana traditions. This is from where Mahayana tradition found the root of the sunyata theory, voidness. Even nirvana and samsara are mutually interdependent, right? If there is no samsara, there is no nirvana. So even nirvana means everything is sunya, empty. Nothing exists in the universe. Okay, so that's what they said. And in one time they said, things exist only conventionally. In Sanskrit, it said that, Sangrutik paramarthascha sattvadvaya midang matang. There are two truths. Conventional truth and the absolute truth. Okay. Buddhi sangruti sangruti paramarthascha satya buddhira gochastha tattvam buddhi sangruti. Now to your thinking, what is subject is conventional truth. The absolute truth cannot be grasped through your conventional knowledge. You have to develop your mind to a higher level, and you have to achieve enlightenment to see that. That ultimate truth is emptiness, nothing exists. That is how the Mahayana tradition developed this sunyatavada, that's emptiness. It's based on this one. So Mahayana is called, Mahayana means it's a developed Buddhism, but they developed the Buddha's teaching. The root is there. They developed this as a religion, and they developed this as a philosophy. While Theravada tradition, our tradition, strictly followed this tradition. Okay, so they developed it into philosophy, into religion. Yes.
Doesn't Theravada also believe?
So this formula, when this is, that is. Now you have heard about Paticca-samuppada, right? In Sri Lanka, today is my Dhamma talk is about this one, some misconceptions about Buddhism. Paticca-samuppada, when you call Paticca-samuppada, the first thing we believe in Sri Lanka is that it is avijja paccaya sankhara. That's Paticca-samuppada. As everybody, what is Paticca-samuppada? That is Paticca-samuppada. But that's not a Paticca-samuppada. That is how the Buddha used this formula to explain the person's internal conflicts, internal suffering. Buddha used the same criteria to explain the social suffering. Okay. When this happens, this happens, this happens. When poverty increases, okay, the crime increases. When the crime increases, people use weapons. When people use weapons, they come like that. Buddha used the same formula, when this is, that is, to explain the social problems. Okay, Buddha used the same formula to use an individual problems. But what we take is that we take that individual problem thing and say, this is Paticca-samuppada, but this is Paticca-samuppada.
What you're saying is, we should be able to apply this into every part of our life.
Every part of our life, definitely. Definitely, yes.
So it's not just one thing.
Not one thing, correct. This is a scientific theory. It is scientific theory because, does it say now unseen causes? Does it give unseen causes for problems? No. When this is, they all are visible. They all are there. When something is here, the cause and effect. Everything happens because of a cause and effect. Okay? So once you find these causes, okay, you can find solution to effects. Sometimes these causes are human creations, right? So that is, this is the principle that modern sciences follow now. Right? So if anybody wants to have a scientific mind, this is the principle that you should follow. Okay? Instead of depending on something, unseen things in the past, something like that. Okay, for instance, let's see. Okay. if I have something, bad luck or something happened to me, right? So, usually what do we do? In Sri Lankan society, for instance, if something bad thing happens, all karma of the past life, okay? Or it's a planetary influence, okay? Some unforeseen ghost or evil.
Deva
are not favoring you, right? Deva say, I'm unhappy, right? So, something like that, right? You know? But according to this formula, they are all speculations. You don't know this is, you don't know, right? So, we are attaching meanings, we are using speculations to make those judgments.
So, you don't know whether it's true or not, we can say it's
right. Yeah. We can say it's not true either, but we should not depend on that. Yeah. But instead, treat the things that you can see. Okay. Okay. So something is it in your mind maybe, right? Something could be in your mind.
So does that mean we should only believe what you can see and touch and not?
No. Right. That's an interesting question again. Right. Again, Buddha says, no. Okay. But for our safety, it's better, that's called, positivism. That's called positivism and empiricism, these 2 points. That's what you call...
What you experience, actually.
In other words, if you experience suffering as suffering, okay, you have suffering, you have it, you must see the cause. Okay, this attachment is the cause of suffering, right? So when this is, that is. That is how. When you have attachment, you have suffering. Okay, so in that way, everything is obvious, should be obvious to you. The empiricism, right? And positivism. Empiricism and positivism. So these 2 principles, mostly. But Buddha does not depend entirely on empiricism and positivism. The Buddha never says that there are things beyond your sensual experience. Okay? But at the same time, always for the safer side, right? You must be very much, don't search the answers in the stars, okay? Don't search the answers in the past life, right? Past here we are, okay?
The
King Akbar, there's an interesting story. In ancient King Akbar was an Indian king, okay? His teacher, okay, is a famous teacher, okay, drew a line just a line, okay, to test the King Akbar's in childhood, King Akbar's brilliance, okay? To test his brilliance, he drew a line next on a paper or somewhere, on a sand, not a paper. On sand, he drew a line and asked King Akbar, Prince Akbar, to make that line short, okay? Without touching, without doing anything to that line. Okay. You know, right, how to do that? Right. What this little prince did was that he drew a long line next to it.
It's all relative.
So, asmin sati idang hoti. When this is, that is. Now, in other words, shortness and longness are mutually interdependent. When that long line is not there, nothing we can talk about shortness. Everything is in comparison. So in the same way, sansara and nirvana. Sansara is existence, right? Nirvana is the end. Okay? So even nirvana does not exist when the last person attained enlightenment. Nirvana is gone. So they develop that sunyatavada, that theory of emptiness to the maximum. Okay? Now Buddha said, okay. Now the Buddha said the last thing here, he said, I will, what did he say here? The Buddha said here, So when this is, this comes, when this is, and when this ceases. Okay. So dhammang tedesisam, that is the term. Dhammang tedesis. I will tell you the dhamma. Okay, so what is this dhamma? I will tell you the dhamma. Dhammang tedesisami. I will tell you the dhamma. That means that I will talk to you about the present. Is dhamma means present. Okay. Now, in other words, if you want to know something, don't go to the past with speculations. Okay. Don't go to the future with speculations. But just focus right now at this present, at this moment. That is dhamma. Okay. So, after Buddha said, Dhamman te desisami, then Buddha said, Asmin sati dang hoti. So we got that. Then this is the most important section. That's why we took such a long time here. Okay, next. Sakrudai admits that what the Buddha said was not clear to him. In an effort to help him understand, the Buddha inquires about the teachings of Sakrudai's teacher. And Sakrudai gives a vague answer. Okay, Udayan, what is your teacher's view? Venerable sir, my teacher's view is this is the most excellent appearance. Okay, we will go to this translation also here. Okay, right? Okay, see? I don't know what this mark is. It's there, but. Is it clear to everybody? Can you read it? Okay. So, Venerable sir, there is no other appearance more noble and exalted than this most excellent appearance. It's not very clear here what this appearance means, but later on we will find that. So he talks about the beautiful world after death. Okay, and that is what he means here. Okay, it was not so confusing that Buddha gives this beautiful kind of parable. Okay. So there is a man who says, I desire and love the most beautiful woman in this state. Then he asks, good man, the most beautiful woman you desire is a warrior clan, Brahmin clan, household clan, or from an outcast clan? Is it missing a word? It's so called, that's called Sudra, right? Okay. When asked, he would say no. Then he says, good man, the most beautiful woman you desire to love, do you know of what clan she is? He says, no. Do you know in which village, hamlet or town she lives? When asked, he says, no. Then he is told, good man, do you desire and love someone whom you do not know and have not seen? Then he would say, yes. What do you think, thy? Doesn't this talk turn out to be stupid talk, meaningless talk? No, Buddha always gives a very practical day-to-day life examples. Okay, a man says, okay, I want to marry the most beautiful woman in the world. Okay, so, but he doesn't know where this woman is, from what class, from what social group she is, where she lives. But still he insists that I love the most beautiful woman in the world. Okay, he says. Is something like that. So in the same way, you say that this is the beautiful thing, this is the most precious thing. So you don't know what that means. Therefore, it doesn't make sense. Okay. But later on, he says, somewhere in this sutra, I saw somewhere here, so Buddha says, now comparison. So Buddha gives lot of examples here for the comparison. For instance, you say this is good, but when you compare with something else, you see it's better. Compare with somebody else, it's better. So you cannot say that this is the best thing. It's in comparison we say something good or better. Okay, so he says, look at this stanza. Venerable sir, this is the view of my teacher. Wait a minute, it's further down, okay? Oh, this one. Venerable sir, my teacher's view is, there is a world of only pleasantness, and there is a course of actions to realize it. Okay. Okay, now so far, but once we come to this point, we understand what this teacher was saying, what this person, the teaching he was following here. Okay. There is a beautiful world, there is a world of only pleasantness, and there is a course of action to realize it. It's something like the utopia-like world. Okay. Now we understand that he was following a path, and he's maintaining a belief. That belief is that there is a beautiful world, okay, in the beautiful place of existence in the universe, and there is a course of action to reach there. Okay, if you follow that, you will go there. Okay. When do you go there? After death. After death. Is there a way to go there while living?
According to them, no.
But it's the same misconception. Do you remember in, maybe some of you remember, in San Diego, that's called Heaven Gate. Right. You remember? Yeah. They had the same belief. I was always reminded of, when I read this one, I was reminded of that incident. You know, he believed it's heaven gate, right? So they believed that there is a beautiful world somewhere. You can go there during this life. That was, oh, that's called, what is the name of that Marshall? Marshall Applewhite. Yeah. He believed that, actually. And he had 26 followers, 29 followers with him. Then what happened was that this Halley's, right? Halley's Comet. Yes. Halley's Comet appeared. And he believed that this comet is a vehicle that came from that heavenly world to fetch them to there. So, and he believed, and he persuaded others to believe that. Okay. Now, very soon they heard that this comet does not continue to appear like this. In a few days it would disappear. So that then he thought, there is one way to go there. Yes. Yes. We all of us should commit suicide together. And they committed suicide one night. Okay, next morning, expecting to go there, that beautiful world. Okay. Now it is again, it's a speculation. One thing can paralyze your brain, right? One authority, remember? Those authorities you learned? Textual authority, religious authority, personal authority, right? Individual authority, right? A cocktail completely destroys. when you come religious authority and textual authority and individual authority, right? So they believed in the text, they believed in the religion, and they believed in this person. Therefore, completely devastated. So, it's such a beautiful world, but these people are not thinking about committing suicide, but they are believing that after death they can go there. Okay, so, now, see the connection between this and Buddha's teaching. What Buddha said is that, according to Buddhism, do you do good things expecting something after death?
No expectations.
Should not be. Should not have expectations. But most of the people, right? They do. They do. So if you expect and if you do good things, to what falsehood do you, to what category do you fall? I mean, if you expect something after death, you do good things expecting good results after death, so you are unwholesome, right?
Yeah.
Loba. Oh, and actually main thing is moha. Yeah, ra, loba. Ra, loba. Loba. It's a loba.
Loba and moha.
Loba, loba, moha. Right.
What is that? Pali?
It's Pali. Loba. Loba means greed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. L-O-B-H-A. Loba.
Is loba and raga the same?
Different.
Different?
Yeah.
Is it
in my book I have discussed it. Loba is overall. Loba means insatiable state of the mind. That's loba.
So
raga means desire for, it is human sexuality. It's also, it is a part of that mostly. Yeah. Loba is raga means sensual desire, sensual gratification.
Not in Sanskrit, in Pali.
The Buddha himself had goals. For instance, why did the Buddha renounce secular life? He had an expectation, right? So I want to achieve enlightenment. And at the Bodhi tree, Buddha said, okay, I make my best effort and nothing can stop me. So he made that best effort. And some monks who strove hard but could not achieve enlightenment, Buddha instructed, Buddha give a kind of a simile also, saying that bite your lower lip by your teeth, right, like this, and make your effort. Okay, so its effort is always welcome in Buddha's teaching. But you must always be mindful that you are not motivated by greed. Greed. Greed
so
means
every action pretty much.
But Freud directly borrowed from the Buddha's first teaching to construct his psychological theory. And the Freud's teacher was Arthur Schopenhauer. Arthur Schopenhauer read from French translation some of the Buddhist books. And one of the first Theravada Buddhist scriptures that had been translated into French during that time was this first Dhammacakkappavattana Sutra, the first sermon of the Buddha. So no English translation were available to him. So he read it, okay? And Freud read it. But even though we don't have evidence, it's most likely that the Freud read it. So Kamatanna, Bhavatanna, and Vibhavatanna became id. Actually, Kamatanna became his sexual theory. He developed his sexual theory completely based on Kamatanna.
Material.
Huh?
Libido.
What's that called?
Id, ego,
superego. Id. That's id. It means the bottom sign of the, everybody wants to gratify senses, okay? The ugly side of the human nature. That's id. Ego and superego, yeah, two levels. But actually this Vibhavatanna, Freud said, it's called death instinct.
Everybody wants to commit suicide.
Everybody wants to commit suicide.
Yeah, I think you talked about it last weekend. Yes.
Maybe I mentioned that.
First class, yes.
Right. Yeah, so in that way, that is, the Freud developed that. So Uday asked the happy world. Okay, he said that about happy world exists there, and how to go there? Does this path work for me? Okay, to go there. Okay, now this is about future, right? This is about future. So Buddha said, "Tittatu pubbanto, tittatu aparanto." No, I don't deal with the past. I don't deal with the future. But this happy world, where does this happy world exist? Okay, this utterance, okay. Where is it? Okay, so these Pali words are called Anuppatta Sadatto, Parikina Bhavasangyojano, Sammadanya Vimutto. Let me show you that towards the end of this. Okay, so these are the let me see. Okay, so these are the Kina jati vusitang, brahmacharyang, katang karaniyang, naparang ittattayati pajanati. Okay, so that's a Pali term. So it has been translated as, okay, this is called, so what should be done is done. This is the conclusion that enlightened person comes. In other words, you don't have anything else to do. I have done whatever I have to do. That's what you call kata karaniyo. What I had to do, I have done. Can the Buddhist philosophy is that because we cannot come to that conclusion, always suffering exists within. I want to do something else. You are not happy because you want some other things to do. Release from birth is destroyed. No more birth. Now again, this birth has to be interpreted. It has been interpreted in different ways. On the birth, the word is called jat, not punarutpatti. This jat means birth, of course, okay? Not punarutpatti. Punarutpatti means rebirth. And this is Puna bhava, re-becoming. This is not rebirth, rather this is re-becoming. Then sansara means, is sansara rebirth or sansara re-becoming? Re-becoming. When do we re-become?
All the time.
Okay. Then what about after death existence? Yeah. Again, we have come to titta tu pubbanto, titta tu aparanto. In other words, see, there are contradictions, right? Right. If you want to be happy, and if you want to, if you want, you don't have to do good things expecting a future existence after death. Okay. So, birth is destroyed. Its birth means punabhava. Okay, I have destroyed. I have stopped re-becoming. Okay, I don't re-become. If I am enlightened, I don't re-become. I have already stopped it. You don't have to die and be born again in new future lives to stop that either. You can achieve it in this life itself. But it does not mean that Buddha rejected after his existence. Okay, Buddha has used the term punabhava and punarutpatti again and again.
This is for him.
Huh?
This is for him.
After the
holy life.
Yes, but lead the holy life in my dispensation. Bhikkhus lead the holy life in my.
Yeah, because he probably mentioned Sangha as the enlightened ones.
Yes, anybody enlightened.
Anybody
enlightened is like this. You know, you have two kinds of parinibbana, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Sopadisesa, anupadisesa, the person passed away. Sopadisesa means when you pass, you have eliminated all the desires, all craving, everything, still you physically live. Right? The sopadisesa. So, but you are enlightened. Anupadisesa means your body ceases to exist. So that's the two. Parinibbanas, enlightened person. The Buddha says this is the most excellent thing. Excellent word. So this utterance is also important for its depiction of an enlightened person.